Welcome to today's sermon. I'm Mike Adams with the Church of Natural Abundance. The website is abundance.church. And today, we're continuing our conversation about primary rights or primary gifts from God. Now, these are the advanced topics, or at least it's sort of an introduction to the advanced topics. We've covered a lot in the 95 or so sermons that I've published so far. A lot about nutrition and God's medicine and natural molecules and neuroprotective molecules and nutritional armor of God. We've covered how to protect yourself from demonic possession. We've talked about how to make your prayers more powerful. Yeah, I mean, we've covered a lot of great things. Plus, of course, many chapters and verses out of the Bible itself, Old Testament and New. We've covered many prophets. We've covered the book of Revelation in great detail. And if you've missed some of that and you're wondering about all the inbound comets and how the world ends and when does tribulation come or the rapture, yeah, well, we've covered all that stuff. So just check out the previous sermons at abundance.church and hopefully your questions will be answered. One thing to note, however, is that my own knowledge has dramatically increased in this whole process. As I'm studying and teaching, I'm also learning, which, of course, is perfectly natural. So, some of the earlier sermons, well, I will have to update them. I mean, together we've already discovered a lot of new things that make a couple of the earlier sermons obsolete. You know, earlier sermons about Daniel, for example. We know more now than I knew then. So keep all that in mind. And it's a wonderful natural phenomenon about studying scripture and also teaching scripture is that, you know, the deeper you get into it, then the more it means to you. The meaning becomes more apparent holistically across all of scripture. You know, for example, the more you study Revelation and the more you study how the world ends, then you can go back and have a much better understanding of when God talks about unleashing his wrath and destroying the world with fire. And why is he angry at mostly the Israelites throughout the Old Testament? But in a larger picture, why is he angry at man? Well, when we really understand Revelation and how it all ends, it helps us understand the earlier parts of the Bible as well, even the first few books of the Old Testament. I mean, God gave humanity so much. He gave so much. So much love from God, and then so much betrayal by man. It's no wonder he ultimately hits the reset button. But we are going to cover today the gift of consciousness. Now, quickly, just to review, when we covered primary rights before, we talked about the gift of life and the gift of your body and why that lends itself to the natural right of owning your body, which means owning the product of your labor, being able to live free from slavery, being able to enforce health freedom. Because if your body and your life came from God, well, no government or corporation has any right to own your body or to own your labor, which is slavery, or to force you to take a vaccine injection that you don't want, or to force you to take medications that you don't want, etc. So that's all in a previous sermon focus on the gift of life. Now we're going to talk about the gift of consciousness. The gift of consciousness. Now, what is consciousness? Well, consciousness is a sense of self-awareness that is tied to a metaphysical existence in the world of spirit, which is God's world. In other words, consciousness goes beyond the brain, obviously. The brain is physical, the brain is material, the brain uses blood and glucose and so on in order to perform its functions. But the brain does not define you. It is your free will and your consciousness that really defines who you are. Now, because you're given consciousness and free will, these two actually go together. So free will means you have the right to make choices. And consciousness means you have the gift of awareness in making those choices. So the mind and the soul are together here. This means that, number one, you are a child of the Creator, and that you did not happen just randomly. So the theory of, I don't know, spontaneous evolution of animals coming from mud or amino acids or something with no purpose and no spirit, no soul, no consciousness. This, the scientism theory that human beings are just sort of self-deluding biological robots with an emergent property of the illusion of consciousness that emerges from a physical, complex, neurological brain. That is all nonsense. That is all nonsense. And it's self-evident because you have self-awareness. You know that you are self. You can think for yourself. You can make a decision. You can change something in your world. You can decide right now to, you know, tap your shoulder or something. Nobody forced you to do that. Even if you're taking my suggestion right now, you could tap something else that I did not suggest, or you could do something else, or you could say something else. Obviously, you are in control. You have free will. That cannot be predicted. It's not foretold. You know, no one knew that you were going to do that, or whatever it is that you choose to do in this moment. No one knows, other than God. But of course, that's because God can see the future, the present, and the past. So I want to answer this question right up front. It's a common philosophical question. People ask, well, how can you have free will and God knows the future at the same time? Many people think those are contradictory concepts. They are not. They are not. They're not contradictory concepts when you understand that through your consciousness, you create new pathways or new futures or new forks in possible futures. Now, I've talked about this a little bit in a previous sermon, and I described it as a tree with branches. And every time you make a decision, you choose a different branch of two parallel universes. Now, this is called the multiverse, this collection of all these different universes. And when God sees the future, what he's seeing, what he's looking at, is a future of many possibilities. And he is laying out, for example, when he has angels speak to John in Revelation, he is laying out the most likely future, but it's not the only possible future. Now, if you know anything about quantum computing, you know that quantum bits, or qubits as they are called, they can hold multiple values simultaneously, well, zero and one. But they can hold a zero and a one at the same time. And if you have eight qubits, then they can hold values from zero to 255 simultaneously at the same time. And those values are superimposed upon each other. It's called superposition in terms of the spin states of the quantum bits. So a quantum bit can hold a one and a zero at the same time, and you don't know which one you're going to get until the observer interacts with the wave function of possibilities, and then you have what's called in quantum physics, it's called the collapse of the wave function. It collapses into a realized reality, which then presents the result that you observe and interact with. So the point of all of this is that since God gave you the gift of consciousness, he quite literally gave you the gift of creating an infinite number of multiverses by simply exercising your free will. Every time you make a choice, you literally create a new branch of the universe. And then that branch becomes the branch that you experience and observe. Whereas before you made that choice, that possible branch was merely a superimposed possibility of multiple branches that coexisted in the imminent future that you chose from. So in other words, 10 seconds ahead of now, 10 seconds ahead of now, there are, let's say, 1,000 things that you could choose to do. 1,000 movements with your body, 1,000 thoughts you could think, 1,000 words you could say, 1,000, you know, actually more than 1,000, but let's just say it's 1,000. So imagine that there are 1,000 possible branches laid out in front of you, but they're all gray. They're all gray because they're not active yet. And every branch is something that you could choose to do. Every possibility already exists in the future. When you make a choice, as that 10-second future arrives and it becomes now, and you make a choice, well, then what happens is you light up then one of the gray branches. So you've chosen from among the 1,000 branches. Now that's the lit path, let's say, and you are now on that path. And that universe has become the universe that you experience and observe. All the other universes of possibilities, they still exist as parallel universes, but you can't shift to them now because you don't have the ability, because you're not God, you don't have the ability to leap across branches of the multiverse. Now, technically, there are some advanced topics that we'll talk about down the road where that's not always true. But that's more than we're going to get into today. For the most part, people don't leap across branches of multiverses. Instead, they stay in the branch that they are currently experiencing, which has the flow of time. And then they are simply choosing new branches each time they make a decision. Now, if you live your life without making many decisions, if you do what you're told all the time, if you confer with authority, you know, false authority especially, false government authorities in particular, then you're not choosing your path. The path is laid out for you. You're just really sort of falling into the future that has been chosen for you, and you're not doing anything to alter your path. But when you make choices, and especially when you create things, when you create, if you write an article, if you write a speech, if you create a work of art, if you create a new dance, if you have expression, if you plant a seed and you grow a plant, or just planting sprouts, if you do something that is intrinsically creative, now you're blazing a very strong new branch into your future. A branch that nobody else could have anticipated, let's say, a branch that other people don't control. So the more you assert your creative freedom and your creative expression, the more you are in control of the branches that you choose to travel down. And the less other forces are able to control you and determine your future. So this is why, getting to primary rights, this is why the freedom of expression or the right to free speech is a natural emergent right from God's gift of consciousness. So just as we were talking about in a previous sermon, that the self-ownership over your body is a natural extension of the gift of life, of God giving you life and giving you your body, your right to freedom of expression is also a natural property of God's gift of consciousness to you. In addition, another emergent property of that is your right to freely access information without interference. So your right to have access to knowledge without censorship and interference. So when governments engage in censorship, as the U.S. government has done extensively for the last decade, colluding with big tech to censor voices like mine and many others, deplatforming people, silencing people when they talked about vaccines, silencing people when they talked about Bible scripture, etc. Anytime that goes on, that is an interference with the gift of consciousness and the gift of free will that God gave you. So censorship is anti-Christ technology or anti-God technology. Censorship is, in essence, satanic, you could say. And that's why when Zionists, which I've talked about Zionism being a satanic philosophy of racial supremacy and rooted in violence, by the way, and the depriving of human rights for other humans, well, one of the methods of enforcing its narrative is censorship, to silence anybody from speaking out against Zionism. And the censorship itself is satanic. And the philosophy of Zionism is also satanic. So satanic philosophies or satanic institutions or satanic governments have to use satanic methods in order to protect their power or protect themselves against transparency or protect themselves against being outed or, you know, from the truth being told or from whistleblowers going public and so on. So this is why also governments of the world are so anti-human, and this is why they engage in depopulation agendas, because they want to kill off people before those people discover the truth. I mean, that's just one of the reasons. There are other reasons. They also hate humans because humans are an expression of God. Humans are the children of God. And so the demons are offended by, for example, a newborn child. And that's why they want to murder that child with abortion before that child can be born. And in the context of what we're talking about today, it makes perfect sense because that child has the gift of consciousness and free will. And if that child is allowed to grow up and to have access to information and to learn about his or her own power, well, that power might be deployed against the Satanists and against evil. That power of consciousness and free will can become, well, a powerful ally of Christ and God and a powerful weapon against evil and Satanism. That's actually the most important lesson of all the sermons that I've taught from day one, is that your consciousness and free will is the most powerful tool, the most powerful gift, and also the most powerful weapon that you possess, a weapon against evil, but a gift from God through which you can carry out tremendous good. Remember that censorship is evil, slavery is evil, right? Authoritarianism is evil, etc. Now, another thing that goes with the gift of consciousness and free will is your right to self-determination. In other words, no government has a right to lock you up in a giant concentration camp, let's say, or an open-air prison. Gaza has been an open-air prison for many decades. And currently, the Zionists in Israel are working on a plan to control all the remaining surviving Palestinians in high-tech Orwellian concentration camps, where people will be tracked by biometric implants and scanning. And then AI systems will decide who to kill on any given day. This is actually being openly talked about right now. These are the plans that evil Zionism has, or evil modern-day Israel, which is ruled by Zionism. So it's all demonic, and it's all contradictory to your right to self-determination. So every human being should have the right to self-determination. That's why slavery is wrong, and that's also why censorship is wrong, and that's why brainwashing and psychological operations are wrong. But what do our governments do in the world today? They run psychological operations, or PSYOPs, as they're called. They run false flag operations. The CDC has over $1 billion budget just for propaganda to try to convince people to take more vaccines. And of course, the pro-vaccine pushers out there have been trying to censor anyone who might discourage people from taking vaccines. And many of the tech platforms have even claimed that it is self-harm to tell someone not to take vaccines. In fact, I uploaded my very first sermon to YouTube to see if YouTube would allow a sermon to be posted, you know, on their platform, and YouTube banned it, claiming that it contained medical misinformation. So you're not even allowed to quote Bible scripture on YouTube without being censored and deplatformed. So that's how bad it is. YouTube will not let you tell people the truth about vaccines or chemotherapy or the cancer industry or Zionism, for that matter, or what Christ said or who killed Christ or all kinds of various scriptures. YouTube won't let you say any of that because YouTube is part of a deep state run or a CIA run psychological operation that is designed to control people's reality by controlling the information they have access to. and making sure that people don't learn about the things that matter. This is why certain popular podcasters like Joe Rogan is allowed to have a massive audience. He's allowed to interview, let's say, Donald Trump and get 20 million views in just a few days. Why? Why is that? Well, because he won't ask Donald Trump about vaccines and he won't ask Trump about Zionism. See, so if you avoid certain topics, you will be allowed to be incredibly popular. And this is the shaping of the conversation by eliminating entire topic areas from public consciousness so that people aren't even aware of vaccines or Zionism or genocide that's happening at the hands of the Zionists in the Middle East. You're not allowed to even know about these things. And frankly, if you weren't reaching out through independent media, you wouldn't even be hearing this sermon. Think about it. How many people have access to this information? How many platforms will even allow this information to be stated? Well, not very many. Not very many. YouTube certainly won't allow it. Facebook won't allow it. Google bans it. You know, it's banned everywhere. Vimeo won't allow it. It's banned almost everywhere. So consider yourself very fortunate if you're just having access to this information. Most of humanity does not have access to this because the establishment is deliberately trying to interfere with God's gift of consciousness for most people. The establishment wants to turn human beings into programmable life forms, or PLFs, or you could say NPCs, non-player characters, or biological robots. They don't want people to think for themselves. They use emotional manipulation to bypass reasoning and logic and consciousness. And they dissuade people from engaging in their own thinking. For example, almost all of medical school is training doctors to never think for themselves. It's training doctors to only follow these protocols, to do what Big Pharma wants you to do or do what the government wants you to do. Doctors are not taught to think outside the box. Now, some do on their own and they become, you know, complementary medicine doctors or naturopaths or what have you. But medical school tries to beat that out of doctors. And if you think about it, even grade school or primary school, you know, K through 12 school in America, what is the purpose of it? Is it to teach students important things? Not so much. It's to teach and demand obedience. K through 12 is obedience training, to obey, to listen to authority, to do what you're told. And if you step out of line, well, then you are punished and you are shamed and you might have detention or, you know, you might get kicked out of a school. It's all about obedience training. And the same thing is true in political circles, and it's true in the online world. It's true in social circles and familial circles. If you don't go along with the crowd, then you are kicked out of the system. But think about it. What kind of people change the world? Is it people who conform, people who go along with everything? No. Those people never change the world. Those people ultimately are of no consequence to the future of the world. Because all those forks in the road ahead of them, all those branches, well, the branches are mostly chosen for them. So yeah, they're moving forward in time, just like you and I are moving forward in time, but their branches are all chosen for them. They're not really going along branches. They're just sliding down a slippery slope that's been chosen for them. And as a result, their lives have effectively zero meaning. If you don't exercise consciousness, you're not carrying out what God wants you to do on this earth. Understand, God would not have given you free will and consciousness if he didn't want you to exercise it. And of course, God himself wants you to choose to love him. He wants you to choose to be mindful to his requirements. He wants you to choose to be obedient to his teachings and his demands. But that has to be a choice. That's why you're given free will. It has to be a choice. Most people choose not to do that. Most people in the world today choose to reject our Creator and they choose instead to practice wickedness and selfishness and greed and, you know, whatever, all kinds of horrible things. And that's one of the reasons why God is so frustrated with humanity. And that's why God ultimately destroys humanity. He's frustrated with, you know, Israel, obviously. He's frustrated with America. He's frustrated with humanity as a whole, because there aren't many great examples of great people and holy people. I mean, they do exist, obviously. And, you know, you and I hopefully will be considered good people. We strive to do good. We strive to help others. You know, so there are a lot of us in the world, and there are people who are, of course, more holy than us, who are living in a temple on the top of a mountain somewhere, and they never even see the internet. They don't even pay attention to the news. They don't have mobile devices, you know. They're super holy, super dedicated people, fasting and eating, you know, vegetarian food all day, I guess. But that's not us. We are still living in the world and trying to navigate it with a sense of morality, with a sense of doing good for humanity, you know, working to apply the gifts that we do have in order to be good people and try to leave this world a better place than what it was when we came into the world. And yet, there's so much evil in the world because people have chosen evil. And many people have chosen to ignore the gift of consciousness. Think about that. You're born with consciousness, but most people live unconsciously. They are sleepwalking through life like zombies. They're sleepwalking through life. And then when they do have the opportunity to make a choice about whether to embrace God or not, most of them reject God. And we see today a lot of young women, the only thing they care about is abortion. They just want to make sure that they can kill a baby, you know, their own baby. That's the most important thing for them. Why? Because they want to have sex without consequences. They never want to face consequences for having sex. And they don't want to have the responsibility of birth control or anything like that. They just want to have carefree, anytime, anywhere sex with no consequences. And that's why abortion is their number one issue. Well, that is a rejection of God. That's a rejection of life. Because when you kill a baby, even an unborn baby, you're killing another being that has consciousness. Yeah, that has consciousness, that has free will. Not as if there are a lot of choices in the womb. You know, what's your choice? I can turn this way. I can turn that way. And they do. I can kick. You know, I can kick a little bit in the womb. And they do. But the real choices come as that child is born and then grows into an adult. And then the real power of consciousness and choice comes into a person. But if that person is killed before they're even born, then that gift from God is snuffed out. And that's what abortion is. And that's why abortion is evil. And that's why God sees so many young women today as being so steeped in evil that all they care about is murdering their own children. And this brings us to an important point, that the gift of consciousness wasn't just given to you. You're not the only one who got it. Everybody got the gift of consciousness. Now, I know we could argue that maybe, possibly, there are some people, some humans that are born without consciousness or something. Maybe they become demon-infested from birth, or maybe they live without spirit. Maybe some of them are NPCs from birth. I'm not entirely sure about that. We need to explore that some more, but it's a possibility. But by and large, people are given the gift of consciousness, and they're born with consciousness, and that means that we must respect them as individuals, and this leads to the property of being a humanitarian and respecting the rights of others. So if we have primary rights that stem from the gift of consciousness or the gift of life, then other people also have those primary rights. And as much as we have the right to do whatever we want, we do not have the right to intrude upon other people's rights. So you could say, well, hey, I have the right to, you know, wave a sword around because God gave me my body and the right to wave around a sword. Well, that's true until your sword hits another person who was also given rights by God. You do not have the right to, you know, slice that person's arm or whatever with a sword, because that's a violation of their rights and their ownership over their body. Now you have intruded upon their rights. And that's why inflicting physical violence against another person is not just morally wrong, but spiritually wrong. And that's why we've been talking about Israel a little bit today. Zionism supporting the mass bombing of women and children is pure evil, because those women and children, well, they have consciousness too. Palestinians have consciousness. And if you don't think they do, there's something wrong with you. Palestinians have consciousness. People of every color, of every race, religion, ethnicity, they all have consciousness. They all experience their life from their first-person point of view. They all have memories and emotions. They experience that. They're capable of suffering or joy. They're capable of love or fear. All of them have that. So when Israel drops bombs on those people, they experience that. The children experience the fear and the terror of having their parents blown up in front of them, or having their own refugee tents set on fire. And that's why it is absolutely evil for Christian Zionists in America, especially Christian churches, to support Israel when Israel is engaged in such violations of consciousness, which is a gift that God gives everyone. Does this make sense? When you understand that the gift of consciousness is universal, and that the gift of life is universal, then you can't possibly argue that, well, God gave us the right to murder these other people, which is what Zionism says. That Zionism thinks that Zionists, or, you know, supremacist Jews, have the right to slaughter anybody else, everybody else, including Christians, all over the world, at will. They think they have that right. Well, clearly, that is evil. Clearly, they don't understand that God gave the gift of life and consciousness to everyone. And that's why being a humanitarian is in alignment with God and the teachings of Christ. That's why having compassion and empathy for others is a recognition of their consciousness, their free will, their primary rights. So as much as we celebrate all these gifts from God in our bodies, in our minds, in our spirit, we must also recognize that those gifts exist in others as well. And that, of course, means we have to treat them with a sense of basic human dignity by default. Now, if they pull out a sword and try to attack us, well, then, of course, we have the right to defend ourselves. We've already talked about that in a previous sermon. We have that right, but we don't initiate violence against others. We can use means, tools to defend ourselves against those who initiate violence, but we don't go out and inflict it upon others. Now, above all, remember that these primary rights come from God, not government. No government gave you the freedom of speech, even though freedom of speech is enshrined in the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights. Those rights simply describe rights that are granted to you by God. The Bill of Rights does not grant you any rights. It just describes them. All of these rights come to you from God. And when governments intrude upon those rights, those governments are evil or satanic. When governments try to steal from you, taxation is theft. Taxation is confiscation. When governments try to coerce you, when they commit violence against you, when they bomb you, when they try to imprison you for exercising your God-given rights, such as the right to pray in a public place, even on a sidewalk outside an abortion center. If you are arrested for praying, even silently praying can get you arrested these days, but that arrest comes from an evil, wicked government that does not recognize your God-given rights, obviously. So keep all of this in mind. As you go through life each day, recognize that your rights come from God, not government, and recognize that God gave other people those same rights. And that's why we need to coexist peacefully and have mutual respect and dignity for each other. And then also understand how powerful you are because you are blazing a trail of new branches as you are moving through time into the future as it's becoming the now. You are, in effect, spawning new multiverses, new parallel multiverse possibilities as you exercise your free will, as you create things, as you choose to say things, as you choose actions and deeds. When you initiate, you know, take the initiative. When you do those things, you create blazing new branches of possible futures. And that's what changes the world. Not just going along blindly sleepwalking through life and letting others determine your choices for you, but rather exercising the gift of free will that God gave you and using it to spawn new multiverses. Ask yourself, what kind of universe do you want to end up in a year from now? And if you can imagine it, you can create it. But you create it day by day through your choices. You nudge yourself in that direction little by little by little every single day with your deeds. But over the span of a year, you can dramatically revolutionize your life if you choose to do so. It just takes the persistent application of God's gift to you, the gift of conscious creation, the gift of choosing. And you can make that future a reality. So now, do you have a deeper understanding of what God gave you? Why you are a spiritual warrior? Why you're a revolutionary? On this earth, even though your time is limited here, you have incredible gifts that God wants you to use. Well, this is what it's all about. So thank you for listening today. God bless you all. And you can find more sermons at abundance.church. I'm Mike Adams, and there's a lot more coming. We're just getting started. Thank you for listening. Take care.